In Matthew 3:16, the Bible said, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And so the first thing that we see here as far as following the steps of Christ is the example in which he gave for us. I mean, he, you know, unlike a lot of us, we like this, you just do as I say, not as I do. But Jesus led by example in how that we're to do. And, you know, this is the beginning of his earthly ministry here as he's starting out. And whenever we get saved by the marvelous grace of God, once we've been regenerated and been born again, then we're to start off our ministry just as Christ started off his. Yeah. Now, contrary to some of this new age preaching and teaching, Jesus did not have to be saved. No. There's a lot of them that's out there teaching that now. Well, if the Savior had to be saved, then how could he be the Savior? Amen. He had to be spotless. He had to be without sin. Amen. And he was, he is, he always has been, always will be. That's right. And so he was just simply starting off here, and he was giving us an example on what we are to do once we have been saved by his marvelous, amazing grace. The very first step is to be baptized. We're to be baptized. And that's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Oftentimes today we look at the Bible as though it's just full of suggestions on it would be better or I would prefer that you would. But he don't give that kind of language. He said, you do it. That's a command. And we miss that a lot of times. We just kind of overlook that. But no, he said, be ye baptized, every one of you. He mentions there in Matthew that we're to go out and teach and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's a very important issue, this issue of baptism. And there's I've heard several preachers say, well, I just don't baptize new converts. I give them about 6 months to a year so I can see if they really got in. Well, there ain't no scripture for that nowhere. And number two, you're setting them up for failure. Because you're keeping them from doing the very first command that God gave them to do. And if you're here and you've never been scripturally baptized, then I won't tell you, I'd be on the phone with Pastor McCauley and talking to him and saying, look, I need to get this thing done. I need to get it settled. Because, hey, you can't move forward until you get first base. And it's very important. You say, well, I just never seen too much importance. Well, the devil sure hates it. I mean, he fights it. He can't stand it. You know, some of our founding fathers in this country was killed because that they preached and taught baptism in this country. They were beaten. Their homes were burned down. They were put in prisons. Hey, one of them, they didn't just kill him. They killed his whole family because he preached and he taught and he practiced scriptural baptism here in this country. And if the devil hates it that much, I'd say it's pretty important. It's pretty, hey, if I didn't really think it was really important, it don't matter. God said do it and the devil hates it. So, hey, there's two pluses right there for getting it done. So we're to be baptized. What is it about? Well, a lot of them teach, you know, today, well, you know, you got to be baptized, and that kind of helps seal the deal as far as your salvation goes, and all this stuff. They like, Brother Freed was talking, we were talking a few weeks ago, and he mentioned this fellow that, he said, I can kill any Baptist with an axe and 2.38s. I said, well, his axe head is broke, and his 38s are shooting blanks. Because if you got it rightly divided, no, all you're going to do is solidify the very doctrine in which we stand for and what we believe. Yeah. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Well, that comma denoting the shortest pause in reading and separating a sentence into divisions or members according to construction. And in that name there, it talks about two things, either authority or character. Yeah. So whenever this Jesus only crowd comes up and say, well, if you wasn't baptized only in the name of Jesus, then you ain't been. No, he's just talking about the character of Jesus in this passage. Because he talks about we're following after his steps, after his footprints, the example that he led for us. And his character was to edify God the Father. Amen. And so we're to do that. And then he says, for the remission of sins, that for, that conjunction there, in consequence of the fact that you have repented, then your next step is to be baptized. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. It's very simple when you start to break it down. And then whenever we do associate the scriptures together, we find out there in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us in verse number 20, he said, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waiting in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God.
Yeah.
See, you can't just get saved and then just go on not get baptized. It's the same thing as whenever Daddy leaves the house in the morning before he leaves, he said, now I want you to do this and this and this. Well, then whenever he comes in and you hadn't done any or all of those things, you're kind of staying away from, there's that, you know, there's that kind of a bad spirit right there. Why? Because you know you ain't been obedient. You know you've not done what you're supposed to do. Therefore, your conscience towards your Father, towards your authority, isn't good, isn't right. But whenever we've done those things and whenever we've been obedient, then whenever he comes walking in, you watch, you can go up there and give him a big hug and everything's good, everything's great. Why? Because your conscience is clean. You've been obedient. You've done what you're supposed to do. And so he says, hey, it's important that we do start off right. Hey, we've got to cover every base. We've got to do exactly how that God tells us to do it if we're going to be what he wants us to be and what he desires for us to be. He tells us there in Matthew 28, there, as I've mentioned, about being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that authority of the Father. He gives the authority in which that we do live and how we're to be baptized, and in the character of the Son, which he displays the Father, and then the Holy Spirit is of his characters. He always edifies the Son. Always. He never edifies self. It's the Son. And so it's important that we follow after this and that we do these things. In Romans 6 and 3 through 5, it talks about there the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ and how that the baptism is carried out through that and in that manner that we are to follow after him. And then he mentions, here we'll look. He said in verse number 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So you have the ritual of baptism, the total immersion. You don't bury anybody by just throwing a little bit of dirt on them. Yeah. Burying is getting completely under. And I seen some man, Brother Jack, bless his heart, he had this one lady, she was rather large. And you could tell he was kind of nervous anyhow. Brother, when he got in to baptize, I mean, she was large, bigger than any, I mean, she was large. And, boy, he got her down, and he didn't get her on. Boy, he was sweating. He had to take her down a little bit further to get her all the way. And then you seen that struggle. Get her. But you know what? He was going to make sure he had her completely under.
Amen.
Why? It's important. Hey, there's some guy, I don't know who he is, somebody just shared it on Facebook, and this nutcase was up there baptizing, and he had like a watering trough or something up there, and the guy was in the water sitting there, and he got up there and literally grabbed him around his neck, lifts him up, and just slams him down. And then the next one, the same, one of them, he just took and just bulldogged him down into the water. And the people are just going crazy out there, laughing and cheering. And I said, buddy, I bet you God ain't laughing and cheering about that junk. There wasn't nothing more scripture about that mess. It wasn't nothing more than just putting on a show. Hey, it's here. God don't play around with the stuff like this. It's very serious about this. This is talking about his son. This is showing the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's talking about what he done, what he went through for us. And we are doing this to show that, well, number one, it's a command, but also it's a testimony that we're showing to the world. Guess what? Hey, we're no longer of the world. Now we have died with Christ, and now we've come out, we're living with Christ. We're living through Christ. I'm a new creature now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, I'm showing the world now, hey, I'm following Christ. I'm not after the flesh anymore. I'm with him. It's important that we follow through. We see the rite of the baptism is for believers only. If you were lost, all you done got wet. It's a ritual there for total immersion. The reasons, commands, testimony. It's the obedience of God that we are baptized. Then the second step, he says there that the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. It's also seen in the last part of Acts 38. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it's a command to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We take that lightly. But how in the world? Preached yesterday over at the nursing home and got on the blood of Christ and then the love of Christ. You know, he said to pray for our enemy. Well, how in the world can you do that outside the love of Christ?
Yeah.
How in the world can we go through life and be what we're supposed to be for Christ if we ain't filled with the Holy Ghost? There's a lot of people, and I've seen it time. Matter of fact, I'm guilty of it myself. We get to going through the energy of the flesh, and we're trying our best, and we're doing all we can do, and we fail.
Yeah.
And we fail. And we fail. And then you just want to throw up your hands and say, I can't do this. You're exactly right. You can't do it. The only way this can be accomplished is through living in the Spirit of God. Through his Spirit being controlling us. Hey, he compared that. Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess. What is wine in excess? It takes over. It controls you. One of my nieces made the statement one time about how much fun she was having and everything. My wife looked at her and said, how would you know? How would you know? Going out and getting drunk and everything, how do you know you have fun? You're just having to take the word of the people that were there. Because you don't know, except they're telling you. Or somebody's got it videoed.
Yeah.
You know what she does? She just had to sit there quietly because she didn't have nothing to say about that. She knew it was the truth. And you know what? Hey, whenever we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. That field's talking about not just to be filled up, but he said to cram, literally to cram. We are to be yielded in every aspect of our life to the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
I know that we receive him whenever we get saved, but then to be controlled by him is a whole different ballgame. To cross over that line to where that you are completely yielding up self, that we can be filled with the Spirit of God. He talks about there in Ephesians there about being filled. In Titus there, it talks about that transformation that's done there with the Holy Spirit, how we're transformed through him. We find some things about the ministry of the Holy Spirit I won't go through all that. I'll give you some here. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, number one, is the consolation. He's the comforter there in John 14, 16 through 18. He has the ministry of education in John 14, 26. He has the ministry of glorification in John 16, 13 and 14. He has the ministry of administration in John 16, 14 and 15. And then the ministry of liberation in Romans 8, 2. The ministry of identification in Romans 8, 9, 14 and 16 through 16. And then the ministry of supplication in Romans 8, 26 through 27. And then the ministry of preservation in Ephesians 4 and 30. So that's his ministry. And for us to be able to really benefit from his ministry, we have to be yielded to him.
Yeah.
We have to, why are so much things happening? Why, you know, you go to these churches, they want you to come in and candidate for them. And then they wind up, you know, well, here's 20% vote this way and 30% vote that way and 40, you know. And so I was down in Tifton and they was asking me about candidating in church, and they had a guy that was coming candidating, and then they asked me if I would, and I talked with him, and the pastor, he was getting ready to resign. And he said, "I just don't know if this other's going to work." And so I said, "Well," I said, "you know, let's just play it and go with it and see what happens, and we'll keep praying." Well, that Sunday morning, the second Sunday or third Sunday I preached for them, I just told them straight up, and I said, "Look, there shouldn't be no some of y'all wanting him and some of y'all wanting me."
Yeah.
I said, "If y'all are led by the Spirit, if y'all are Spirit-filled and you know you're praying through, then the Holy Ghost ain't going to tell you to vote for this one and tell you to vote for that one. You're going to be 100% on who God wants for this church if you are truly led by the Spirit of God." And then I left, and I didn't care. I told them, I said, "Look, really, I want y'all to vote on him." I really felt like that was the man for him. And they called later that night and said, "We got 100% vote for this other preacher." So that's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
There shouldn't be no church division over who the next pastor should be.
Right.
If everybody's in one accord.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be any problems with things going on in the church. The color of the carpet, I mean, church split over the color of the carpet. Church is split over all kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
It's unreal what goes on in a lot of churches. And they're, "Oh, yeah, man, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost." No, you ain't. He didn't lead you to stand up against your pastor.
Right.
He didn't lead you to cause no division over the color of the carpet or what type pews you got. No, see, we get so sidetracked and let the flesh take over. And the flesh is against God. It's enmity with Christ. So we have to be careful. Hey, you have to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's very important. The Bible tells us some reasons why we ought to be filled. But number one, you don't want to grieve him. Hey, to grieve the Holy Ghost. You know what that grieving is? It's to sadden him. And then he warns us and tells us not to quench him, which is to silence him. And then you got some big decision in life to make, and you're like, "Lord, why ain't you talk?" "I've been trying to, but you silenced me."
Yeah.
We don't want to listen to him until something big comes up in life. And then we wonder, "Where's he at? Why ain't he talking to me?" Well, you ain't let him.
Yeah.
We hadn't let him do it. Well, see, we're to be very sensitive. I mean, Brother Sammy said it for years and years and years, and he's very, very right on it. He said the most sensitive person in this place is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, hey, if you're welcoming him and wanting him, he's here. But you go to grieve him a little bit and see what happens. He'll be gone. We've been in church services where you could literally feel the presence of God so thick, and then all of a sudden, he starts drawing out. Why? Somebody grieved him. We was in one down in Tifton, well down below Tifton, and man, they started some of that. Well, the song leader done it against the pastor's knowledge. He didn't know he was going to do it. He started that praise and worship song, and you could feel the Holy Ghost just drawing out of that place. It was surreal. I mean, he was just drawing out. And I mean, we just sitting there like, wow. I looked at my wife. She's like, man, you feel that? But then he realized he had made a mistake, I reckon. He went back to a good old hymnal, and man, it just started, just the presence of God just started falling back in. And after the service, the pastor said, I want to take you and your family out to eat lunch, but said, give me a few minutes, I'll meet you out there. He got out there. He said, you see what happened in that service? I said, I sure did. He said, it won't never happen again. His few minutes was taking care of a song leader. You got to be careful. Just the smallest thing. And grieve the Holy Ghost from working in a service and cause somebody to not get saved. It can cause somebody to miss the will of God in their life.
Yeah.
It's that serious of a thing. Well, in Mark chapter 3, we'll try to, this kind of explains to us some of the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God. In verse number 16, to be honest with you, when I was studying through the 3:16s, I looked at this one, and Simon, he's surnamed Peter. Well, ain't nothing there, so I went on. And the Holy Ghost said, you better go back and look again. So I come back to this again, and I looked at it, and Simon, he surnamed Peter. Well, and, that's just a continuation. Surname, or Simon, the word Simon means hearkening, listening with the intent to obey. Simon, he. Who is he? Well, Deuteronomy 32:14 says he is the rock. Also, 1 Corinthians 10:4, that rock was Christ.
Yeah.
So he, the rock. Surnamed. Surname means to lay upon in a friendly manner. Peter, little rock.
Yeah.
So what's he saying? You be baptized. Be filled with the Spirit and hearkening, listening with the intent to obey, you become what I am.
Amen.
He's the rock.
Yeah.
And he's laying it in a friendly manner, though, but he's putting that responsibility on us that we are to become the chip off the old block, so to speak, in our country here, how we'd say it. He's saying we are to become what he is. A little rock. He's the big rock. We're to be the little rock. We're to be what he is.
Amen.
How can you do that if you have not been filled with the Spirit of God?
Yeah.
How can you do that if you have not followed the steps, if you've not been baptized and then filled with the Spirit? Here's some things that he's laid upon us to be. He said Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That word perfect means to be mature, to grow up. It's conforming to a standard that he is. Well, you could go into Esther and look at how that comes about and see. We ain't got time for so much. My wife has told me the importance of setting things up in series. But be you perfect. As your Father. So we're to be like him. 1 Peter 1:15-16. He said, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That holy there, talking about physically pure, morally blameless, and ceremonially consecrated. How can you accomplish that if you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Thirdly, 1 John 4, there he talks about to be love. He's talking about that love, the love of Christ is as he loved us, we're to love. How can you do that? That's that love. You know what that love is talking about? That benevolence, the love of mankind accompanied with a desire to promote their happiness. Not our happiness, but their happiness. He goes on to talk about being merciful, as our Father is merciful, to show compassion of suffering with another in Luke 6, 35 and 36. In 1 Corinthians 10, 13, being faithful, but God is faithful. In Matthew 10, 16, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as servants and harmless as doves." In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, he said, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." In Matthew 4, Jesus is in the wilderness. He's having to face the devil. He's having to face the temptations that the devil's throwing at him. But you know what we find? He was unmovable. He was steadfast. How did he defeat him? He defeated him through the Word.
Amen.
Through the Word of God. Hey, in 2 Corinthians 6, 13, he said, "Be ye enlarged." That enlarged, there's talking about get out of your little social circle.
Yeah.
And get over there to that crowd that makes you a little bit nervous. That crowd that kind of don't smell quite right or don't look quite right. Means go over and love them and show them what God's done for you.
Amen.
Be ye enlarged. There's so many things. He says in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So many things. There's a whole list. I went through and found everywhere in the Bible. I had this program on my computer before it fried itself or whatever it done. And so I punched in "be ye." And I went through that thing and looked everywhere it says "be ye." And it's amazing how many times where he's commanding us things throughout his word. On "be ye, be ye, be ye." And how in the world, when you look at that, how can you do it without being filled? It's such a serious, serious thing. You know, I was thinking this morning early in my study, I was in there looking and reading and just going over some notes, and I got thinking about this next verse in John and Matthew 3. Verse 17, the Bible said, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Yeah, I was thinking about Randy Hudson this morning. Randy was kind of like my adopted daddy growing up. You know, well, when I hit my teenage years, I went to work for him when I was 16. And he'd have an idea, want to expand the business. He'd call the bank, and he'd tell the bankers, he said, "Now, I'll be at my office at such and such time." And they went to his office to meet with him. And he picked up the phone, got on the intercom, said, "Scott, come in here." And he was in there in his meeting with the bankers, and he introduced me as his son. I mean, I worked for that guy like nobody else. And he introduced me as his son. Whenever he was leaving to go out of town for a couple of weeks, he said, "Boy, this is your company." Took me out front and showed me the sign, Hudson Pecan Company. He said, "This is Scott Stringer Hudson Pecan Company. I'm gone for 2 weeks, it's yours." I was 17 years old. I run everything in there. Had 9 women in one part, a woman there in the office taking calls and orders. We had men out in groves working. We had 2 guys in the warehouse. Hey, when I was 17, I was driving a straight truck running pecans, man. I mean, no CDLs, nothing. Just, Hey, we've done what we had to do. And you know why he done that? Because he knew that I treated it like it was mine anyhow. There's nights I never went home except just to get a shower and turn and go back. I slept in his office several times. I slept in my car out in front of that place several times. And he loved me. I loved him and his family. But I got to thinking about that, how the God Almighty says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
How do you get that? You get that by following his steps. Following his example. What he says is exactly. Hey, whenever Randy come out and said something, I didn't argue with him. We didn't say, no, we think it'd be better this way. No, it was going to be how he said do it. Now, we might have done a couple of things that he didn't know about. But God knows about everything, so you can't pull that on him. I'm becoming. But hey, if you've never been scripturally baptized, get a hold of the pastor. I need to talk to you. I need to get this took care of. And if you're not being led by the Holy Ghost, completely surrendered, he said, and the psalmist said it, commit all thy ways unto the Lord. Commit all thy works unto the Lord. And you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means you got to get rid of self. Nobody knows better how to please God the Father than the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, when Esther was listening to, what was his name? It'll come to me later. The guy there, the keeper of the women. And he would take it and he would dress them. And you know what the Bible, some of them would, you know, they kind of change things up before they went in to meet the king. Well, I think this would be better. But the Bible said that Esther, whatever he said, Esther said, that's what I'll do. And whenever Esther went before the king, she found favor. She was the one chosen. I wonder if it had anything to do with it. She just totally surrendered herself to the keeper. And said, you know what? He knows the king. I don't. He's worked for the king for all these years. He knows his likes. He knows his dislikes. He knows everything about it. And I think I'm just going to yield myself to him. And he'll make me exactly what the king wants. That should be our attitude as Christians. I'll yield myself to the Holy Ghost because he'll make me exactly what the Father wants. You can stand to your feet. Altar's always open. If anybody needs to do business with God, you got the freedom to do so.
Let's pray, Lord. I thank you, David. Blessing you. Bless us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the day games today. Thank you for the message we heard. Lord, please, Lord, just touch tonight. Lord, please help Brother Tim and him, Lord, sir, over there, Lord, in Mexico, Lord, ministering, Lord, there to them people. Lord, please, Lord, just help him. Lord, give him the wisdom he needs and the leadership that he needs, Lord, for them. Lord, there, just touch the missionary there that's that they're there helping, Lord, this week. Lord, please, Lord, just touch them. Lord, and the needs, Lord, in their life. Lord, please, Lord, just touch and help touch all our missionaries, Lord, that we support and please, Lord, just touch and help and use us, Lord, touch tonight. Help Brother Hub, Lord, as he preaches line, Lord, please, Lord, just touch and all the things and all the different prayer requests and all the different needs, the ones that are sick here in the church. Touch us and help us and use us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.